God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing this sermon series through the Lord's Prayer. We pick up the second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. And very often when we think about the Kingdom of God, I don't know about your first reaction, but usually my first reaction is up there in heaven above, in God's Kingdom. But unfortunately, that line of sight is a little narrow because God's Kingdom is more than just up in heaven above. We have to remember, God created the heavens and the earth. But typically, you know, when I'm with people and they would say, Pastor, I really want God's kingdom to come, it's usually someone who's older who says they're willing and ready to die. And there's nothing wrong for us as Christians to sit there and say, Yes, Lord, call me into your kingdom. It is the hope of every Christian, that we be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in heaven above. But sometimes, when we are also hopeless and filled with that hopelessness, we also may be praying that. You know, times in our lives when there seems to be a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, even at a young age, we may pray, Lord, call me now. Get me out of this mess. Pull me into heaven and then my life will be saved. Then I won't have to face the terrible mess I happen to be in. So there might be a couple of good reasons why we would pray, Thy Kingdom Come. But for those of you whose life is going fairly well right now, you might be saying, But Pastor, I'm not ready to die. Is this really what we mean in the Lord's Prayer? And the answer is only partially. You see, I'd like to break up the kingdom of God into three categories. It's still all of one kingdom, but it shows three different relationships God has throughout his kingdom. Very often when we talk about the kingdom of glory, we talk about the kingdom of heaven. Being with God in eternal life, we pretty much always already covered that. There are two other kingdoms. One is the kingdom of grace, which is basically the believers. The kingdom of grace doesn't include creatures. It doesn't include animals, not even all of humanity. It only includes those people who, through the preaching of God's holy word, have the gift of eternal life. For we remember it is by God's grace that he gives us this faith. And through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we are destined to be with him in heaven above. So there is a close relationship between this kingdom of grace, referring to believers, and the kingdom of glory. All who are part of the kingdom of grace will enter the kingdom of glory. But God's kingdom doesn't even stop there. Remember, in the beginning, there was nothing. There was just God. God created out of nothing light, darkness, the heavens, the earth. So all of this is part of God's kingdom. We call this the kingdom of power. Because the kingdom of power is not limited to a particular geographical area, like, say, our earthly, quote-unquote, countries or kingdom. We are reminded what Christ says, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and that God had put all things under his feet. And there is nothing that is not under his control. Basically, everything is under the kingdom of power, including those people who do not believe and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, including the trees, including the water, which we desperately need, the grass, the air, all of creation, even the devil and his evil angels, in one essence, a part of this kingdom of power, showing this relationship that, yes, God is in control of everything. Let me back up for a moment and note sometimes a little bit of our confusion here and how these three kingdoms help us. As I alluded to at the beginning, when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, very often it's usually when we're near the end of life or we get really frustrated with this life and we're saying, Okay, Lord, take me now. And it's in the midst of that frustration I'd like to talk for a moment or two. Because very often as Christians, we have to admit, there are some times in our lives where things just don't go our way. We sort of seem like we're at the end of our rope and we don't know which way to go, and we're probably saying, God, where are you? Save me from this miserable life. And it's at this exact point in time we have to remember what the kingdom of God is all about. Yes, it is about heaven. But we also have to remember we worship a God who created all things, who created the heavens and the earth. You may be saying, you mean created even the mess I'm in right now? And the answer is, in one essence, yes. But we have to remember that sin entered this world, corrupted God's creation. Did God intend the mess of our lives to be there? The answer is no. God intended us to live in complete happiness and joy. But sin did enter God's perfect creation. Henceforth, we have evil. And in the midst of that evil, the Christians sometimes can get very, very frustrated and may turn to God and say, okay, God, it's time to check me out of this world. I've had enough. But God says, wait a minute. Did you not understand the other two kingdoms? You want the kingdom of glory. Let's first of all take a look at the kingdom of grace. The kingdom in which God's word is being proclaimed, in which we have the forgiveness of sins, and as in a few minutes when we come to the Lord's table, we have Christ's body and blood with that bread and the wine for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of those sins. We gather here in a church. Not that the church structure is part of the kingdom of grace. No, because in the church structure, we still may have quote-unquote hypocrites. Those people who say they believe but really don't. But in the church, where the gospel is taught in its purity and the sacraments are administered, where faithful Christians gather to support and encourage one another, the Christian who is at the end of the rope, who is saying, Lord, take me now, can find strength. Likewise, when the Christian is crying out, Lord, take me now, let's go back to the first kingdom, which is actually the kingdom of power. Why is the Christian crying out, take me now? Because very often the Christian feels like there is no control in this life. Evil has won. Oh, but we forget about the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we think that way. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. He defeated sin, death, and the devil. But while we're still on this side of eternity, we still have to put up with the effects of sin and corruption in this world. But let's not lose sight. Who is ultimately in control? It's interesting. I just recently heard that the current Pope was sort of picking on a little bit on the Harry Potter series, especially with the new book coming out, explaining that he was a little concerned with the concept of divinations, you know, magic spells and so forth down the line. Well, whenever I'm approached with a concept like this, I usually remind people, wait a minute, we worship the God who is all-powerful. We worship the God who created the heavens and the earth. We worship the God who defeated sin, death, and the devil. Yes, there is a devil, but I'm not worried. Yes, there are evil angels, and again, I'm not worried, because my faith is in the one who is in control, who defeated, who's providing a place for me in heaven above in His time, not mine. As Christians, we need to remember this because very often we take a look at the world, we take a look at the current drought we're in, we're taking a look at the war between various types of governments. Even now, our troops are sometimes in conflict. And we may say, where is peace? Where is God? But we have to remember one thing. God is omnipotent. He is all-knowing. We just see a small corner of our earth. We just see life from our point of view. There are other points of views to take into consideration. And finally, we have to put our trust that, yes, we do worship the omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful one who has defeated sin, death, and the devil. And He is ultimately in control. With that in mind, as we take a look at our hopelessness from time to time, hopefully we don't covet the kingdom of glory too much. And we rest assured that in the kingdom of grace, where God's word is there to strengthen us and to give us that comfort, so that eventually in God's time, we'll arrive in the kingdom of glory. That's one of the ways that we can get these three kingdoms a little mixed up as Christians. there unfortunately is another way. And let me, for an illustration, and hopefully I'm not going to offend anyone because I have a strange feeling that someone's going to get offended. So let me just say what I have to say and don't walk out before I'm done here. It all started a few months ago. In preparation for our trip to China, there was one thing that we needed to acquire, and that was a video camera. And so when we finally acquired a video camera that we could bring with us to China, of course, being very gadget-orientated male here, I was very happy to start using it, start getting familiar with it. And one of the things that I've always liked to do is to videotape myself. The reason why is because I don't sit in the pews. I don't get to see what's going on up here. Am I moving my hands well enough? Am I talking too fast? Am I looking in the right direction, or is my face always in my notes here? So every once in a while, it's good to sort of see what's going on. And I will admit, maybe you even noticed it, that there was one worship service, one weekend, where back there, where the ushers are kind of sitting right now, on the table, there was a video camera pointing right at the pulpit. One of these days, I actually have to do the videotaping for the whole liturgy, but for right now, I was just doing focusing upon the sermon here, the proclamation of God's glory. Okay, so now here I am, and I decided to zoom in so that I could sort of see what my face is doing. And believe me, that was a scary sight. Just think, if I had one of those real big, huge TVs, I'd be larger than life. Even my own mother, I think, would take a step back. But anyway, getting on with my story here, something caught my eye immediately. And I've been here for about 8-9 years. Never occurred to me. Immediately, it caught my eye and I went, wait a minute. And it bothered me throughout this entire videotape of about a 15-20 minute sermon. It was driving me nuts. And I haven't said a word until we talk about the kingdom of God. For those of you, especially on that side of the church, as I'm pointing this direction, your line of sight, what's one of the first things you see right behind me? The American flag. Now, yes, I am happy that I'm a U.S. citizen. I have no doubts, please don't call me anything else. I'm very, very happy. My daughters, even though adopted from China, are now U.S. citizens, and they're very happy about that. But I am here today to proclaim the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the United States. We need to keep these kingdoms separate. It is the church's role to promote Christ and Him crucified. And my first reaction, well, where's the cross? Well, there is a cross. It's right on the other side of me. And I'm thinking, oh, what a terrible place to be. Between the cross and the American flag? No. I need to be preaching Christ and Him crucified, not the United States of America. Don't worry, my analogy even gets a little bit worse. Because if I would take that same scope of focus, where would you have to be in order to see the cross in the backdrop behind your pastor who is proclaiming God's word? You have to be right there in front in the corner, either that pew where the communion ware is on or the one behind it. Otherwise, you're outside the building. That's scary. Now, some of you may be saying, Pastor, before you go on ranting and raving even more about this, there is a little short-term solution to this problem. I mean, there are two flags in the chancellaria. The other is that of the Christian flag. It has a cross on it. Pastor, why don't you just switch the two? I did the next week. They were switched back. Now, my point tonight is not to sit there and to pick on the person who switched them back. I hadn't done the teaching. Okay, fair enough. I'm now doing the teaching. And no, I'm not going to change them right now. That'll be taken care of a little bit later as we do a little bit more teaching about Christ's kingdom. Nothing against being a citizen of the United States. Quite the opposite. As Christians, Jesus even notes in Matthew chapter 22, verse 21, He said, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. We have to remember what the church is all about. The church here is, yes, to proclaim God's kingdom. The kingdom of grace. Yes, we talk about the kingdom of glory and a little bit about the kingdom of power, but the kingdom of grace, God's word and his sacraments, those are the pillars of the church. We dare not deviate. Likewise, I'm very happy that the IRS a few years ago recently created a new ruling and basically said religious organizations cannot promote political parties. Good, let's keep them separate. But as being part of the kingdom of God, as being Christians, rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's, we have to be obedient to the government. Fair enough. I have nothing wrong with that. Please don't consider that I'm trying to bash the United States of America. But also consider this true account. It was told to me by one of my history professors at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. He reminded the class that back in the 1700s, as this quote-unquote countries of ours was developing, we had Lutherans. Too often we think about Lutherans coming over when the Missouri Synod was established, but no, we had Lutherans even before the United States was formed. And you may remember that there was a period of conflict before the United States was formed. We call that the Revolutionary War. And being good Lutherans, we've always had a very close attachment to the concept of church and state. As Christians, we feel that, yes, we need to obey the laws of our land as long as they don't disagree with God's law. Amen. And so when war was breaking out, you had pastors and saying to their congregations, you need to be good citizens. Follow your government. Join the troops. Join the army. And they had like a mini draft board after the worship service. I thought that was kind of interesting. This may surprise you, though. As the pastor was saying, sign up. Join the troops. He took off his outer garb. And underneath was a red coat. Who was the legitimate government at the time? That's right. Not all Lutherans, however, went that way. My professor said it was about a 50-50 split. But it reminds us, wait a minute, the church here is not to proclaim politics. The Lutheran church existed here on this continent even before the United States of America was formed. And with that change of governments, because it was a change of governments, did the church fall? No. The church proclaimed its message. Amen. So even in the midst of rising and falling of nations, yes, the Christian church is trying to tell its citizens, obey God and also obey the laws of the land. Because why? The kingdom of power. God sets up the government. He sets up a way of doing things. That is the key. The church is here to promote the kingdom of grace, God's word and his sacrament. Let the politicians, let the government make the rules. God charges them with the responsibility of making rules that allow us to live in peaceable lives so that the word of God may continue to grow and flourish in the land. Luther, even noting that on this concept of church and state, noted something that was kind of interesting. In talking about the concept of should Christians establish their own government? Luther answers that question really quickly by saying no. He says, and I'm quoting, it is out of the question that there can be a common Christian government over the entire world, or for that matter, over one country, or a great number of people, for the wicked are always more numerous than the pious. He goes on to continue that line of thought to basically saying the church's role is not to set up a government. The church's role is to promote Christ and him crucified. Again, how does this apply to us in our lives? We get this confused, especially during times of election, where you will see churches promoting a particular candidate and saying, this is the right way to vote. I was appalled when I found out a few months ago that a church basically threatened to excommunicate someone if they didn't vote, quote-unquote, the right way for the presidential election. No, that's wrong. The church is to promote Jesus the Christ, not to tell you who to vote for. We have a wonderful luxury in the United States. We do vote for our leaders. We enjoy that luxury. And we ask our members to vote the way that they want to vote. Getting back to the church's job is to preach the truth of the gospel, not to run the country. Hence, if the United States would fall, would our faith in Jesus the Christ fall with it? I hope not. Likewise, what does the church do? This next week, we're doing Vacation Bible School. This is what the church should be doing. We have a wonderful opportunity in which we have kids, not just from within our congregation, but from outside our congregation, coming to Trinity. And in that opportunity, we have to proclaim to them God's Word and showing them the truth of the gospel. Likewise, Trinity also supports an early childhood care center right across the street. Again, it should be a center where God's Word is being proclaimed so that these little ones that parents are entrusting to us are taught God's Word. So it is with our Sunday school, our youth group. The church's responsibility is that of the kingdom of grace. When we get that message confused, we run into problems. We have to remember we also get that message confused when we think that we can build the church outside of God's means of grace. Unfortunately, I only have to take a look at the newspaper to see what other denominations are doing, and even unfortunately some within our own ranks, that are sitting there tossing aside God's Word for other things to attract the crowds. Our goal is not to attract the crowd. Our goal is to preach Christ and Him crucified. The Church of Christ is in this world, but it's not supposed to be of the world. This means the church is traveling in time to in this present world, but it doesn't partake of the natures of the kingdom of this world. Jesus even said in John chapter 17, verse 11, "And I am no longer in this world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Jesus prayed this prayer while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that he was going to leave his disciples, asking God the Father to continue to strengthen them. We also need to continue to be strengthened by that Word. We have to remember that Christ shapes and preserves the kingdoms of this world. Yes, God is the God of power. In one essence, He does have control of the whole universe, over the governments. And through Him, through Christ, the government should be trying to develop laws that allow us to live peaceable lives. But we also remember that Christ builds up and maintains and governs His church, the kingdom of grace. And through that kingdom of grace, we enter the kingdom of glory. We are built up by His Word and sacrament alone. We don't need to develop a political platform. We need to base our faith upon what God has given us through His Word and sacraments. But while we're on this side of heaven still, as Christians, it's tough for us. We get confused. We don't see clearly God's entire plan. We're only in our little corner. So we need to trust in God, that He knows all things, and put our faith in Him. Paul reminds us of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then," referring to the kingdom of glory, "face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Paul reminds us as Christians today that, yeah, there's going to be some times where we don't understand everything that's going on. We may even be really upset with how things are running in this world, even in our own nation. But we don't lose hope. The God who defeated sin, death, and the devil is the one who gives hope. He encourages us in the faith. So in the bottom line, when we talk and when we pray in our Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come," we are referring to, yes, we want the Lord to establish good government, especially faithful teachings in the church, and that in God's time, not our own, when our last hour comes, that He keep us in this faith to be faithful so that we transfer from this kingdom of grace into the kingdom of glory. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.